Today, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, a day when we remember those we love but see no more. All Saints occurs each year on November 1st. Many churches, including Redeemer, celebrate it at the following Sunday's service. Some scholars believe that All Saints came about as more and more saints' days proliferated throughout the early church. There were so many saints, many of them hyper-localized to a particular church or village, that the church, big C, began to condense them into one day, sometimes known as the Feast of All Martyrs, remember that fierce wild beast we just sang about, and sometimes known as the Feast of All Hallows. Hallowed means holy. Hallowed be your name in the Lord's Prayer means holy is your name. And so the Feast of All Hallows was a moment to recognize and remember the holy people who had died. Fun fact, this is also where we get Halloween, All Hallows Eve, because many feasts in the church start the evening before. We really like to get the party started. Think about Christmas Eve or the Easter Vigil. Now, in the Episcopal Church, the Feast of All Hallows lives on today as All Saints' Day. While we often use the word saint to designate an especially holy or hallowed person, in the New Testament, it was applied to all Christians who had died, not reserved for a special class of believers or individuals who maintained some higher moral standards. And that is how it is used in our All Saints liturgies today. We celebrate all the saints, officially recognized and known only to us or to God, all the saints who have gone before us. At our evensong later this afternoon, we'll read the necrology aloud, a list of the names of people who have died, submitted by all of you, our community. We will mark the presence of these saints with God, and their presence with us, and ours with them. We will share in our grief, and our loss, and in our love. Now, All Saints is also a day that's traditionally associated with baptism. Though this may seem like a confusion of life stages, baptism and the great communion of saints are deeply tied. In a few minutes, Christina will bless the water, thanking God that in the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death, by them we share in his resurrection, and through them we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. This is a central piece of our understanding of baptism, that through the outward and visible sign of water, we are adopted into the family of God and made members of the body of Christ. Now, as members of that body, when we live in, with, and through Christ. And when we die with Christ and rise with Christ and live eternally with God in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus died and rose again, because we live in him, we look to a new life after death, when we will rise in glory and join all the saints who have gone on before us. This is why All Saints is so connected to baptism. It is our life in and with God coming full circle. Which is to say, to everybody, but especially to Sophia and Waverly, being baptized today, welcome to the family reunion, y'all! Because that is what this is. It is a moment of reunion, of reunion. Rejoining, reconnecting with our great family, stretching all the way back to the beginning of creation, encompassing all the moments of tenderness, pain, joy, and grief, and stretching out for all the years to come. So welcome to the family reunion. A few years ago, my husband Zach and I attended his family reunion in Price, Utah. Price is a small mining town about 2 hours southeast of Salt Lake City. I had never been to Utah before, but Zach had grown up visiting his mother's extended family there. His grandfather, Earl, and Earl's sister, Earlene, had grown up in Price, alongside their siblings and cousins and aunts and uncles, and of course, great-grandma Bonza. They were Italian immigrants who had come to work in the mines in about 1913. And while no one lived in Price anymore, no one from their family, the place exerted gravitational pull in family history. Zach's family, if you're lucky enough to ever meet them, is incredibly warm and welcoming. They also love to tell stories. And one of the evenings that we were there at the reunion, after a slideshow of photographs and a presentation on the family tree, we played a family trivia game. When I say we played, I mean I watched and other people competed. Cousins faced off against cousins to answer questions about who lived on which corner of the block that everybody lived on, and what rooms they were allowed to play in at Grandma Bonza's house, and who got the bedroom when they visited versus who got the couch. The nitty-gritty parts of childhood memory. All weekend, over lingering meals and walks around town, I heard story after story about members of the family. Some were woven into a narrative that was shared by many. Some, frankly, seemed apocryphal, and others were brief vignettes that surfaced on their own. I met people who had come from across the country, from the littlest of great-grandchildren to the oldest and most venerable great-grandparents who took the seats as our trivia judges. I also met the people described and remembered in these stories, the people who were loved but seen no more, who had died and gone on ahead. When we gather for church, whether it's All Saints or a baptism or neither or both, we gather for our own family reunion as members of the family of God. Not everyone has a good relationship with their family of origin. Human nature contains the capability to wound in the most intimate ways, turning what should be relationships of love and care into something else entirely. But in baptism, we are adopted officially into God's family, at whose root is God's immeasurable love for and delight in each of us. And all of us are welcomed at that reunion, whether we're baptized or not. There is space for everyone. We hear our family stories as told in Scripture and through the witness of our siblings in Christ. We share in a meal, the Eucharist, that connects us with Christians across time and space. And I would argue that this doesn't just happen in a church building, beautiful though ours is. It happens any time we join together to live out God's love in the world, to live into and out of the blessing that we have been given. That's what the Beatitudes are, which we heard in Matthew's gospel. They are blessings. We have been given the gift of knowing that the world does not have to remain a place of domination or greed or violence, but that it can be one where the poor, the mourning, the gentle, the hungry, the merciful, the pure-hearted, the peacemakers, the persecuted, and the reviled are known to be blessed. This is deep consolation and assurance both for the crowds listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and for all of us today, and especially for Waverly and Sophia, our newest members of the church. Waverly, Sophia, you live in a world of blessing. It may not always feel that way. The world can be cruel, and there is no life without loss and grief. But from the world's beginning, it has been blessed and called good by God, and you are each a part of that blessing. So when it is hard to remember, turn to the saints around you. Look to the saints who have gone before you. and join them at the family reunion, here at church or at any place where God's love is being made manifest. Tell the stories. Share the meal. And join them in the work of making this world's blessing known and felt by all. Amen.